Hi, welcome to Stanlib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within Stanlib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And this week, I think we need to focus on the US labor market data that was released last week. We obviously had the monthly labor market report, but we got data on job openings, the ADP employment report, the weekly jobless claims. So quite a range of indicators, and I think we need to try and put all of that in a bit of context. The other area of focus is South Africa's GDP performance for the second quarter of the year. Not an exciting growth dynamic, but a little bit better than what we had in the first quarter. And obviously there is a increased optimism that South Africa's economy will do better over the next couple of years, particularly if the government of national unity can hold together and we can start to lift confidence more broadly. So two key topics to discuss this week. The US labor market report for the month of August was released towards the end of last week, and I think it was a mixed set of results. If we look on the positive side, the unemployment rate improved a little bit. It moved from 4.3% to 4.2%. which is not that significant, but at this stage, I think the financial markets are focusing on even the smallest change in labor market conditions. On the negative side, the US created 142,000 jobs. That was below expectations. The market anticipated an increase of 165,000 jobs. And if you consider that the average for the first 6 months of this year was an increase of over 200,000 jobs a month, then clearly the US is not employing as many people as it did previously on a month-by-month basis. It doesn't mean that that's disastrous. 142,000 is still a decent outcome. But I guess if you factor in that the previous 2 months' data was revised down by 86,000 jobs, then it tends to confirm that the labor market environment is not as strong as it used to be. This will obviously factor into the Fed's interest rate decision later this month. And at the moment, the market is debating whether they cut 25 or 50 basis points. There's no doubt they're going to cut interest rates. It's just simply a debate around the extent of the rate cuts. And also, what is the Fed going to signal for further interest rate cuts during the course of next year? I think the economic data is leaning towards a 50 basis points cut, given that a broad range of indicators are clearly softening and that the US economy at this stage would be heading towards recession conditions. The argument for 25 basis points is that the Fed might not want to send a signal that they're behind the curve and need to catch up. And I think that's going to be an important deciding factor. So our view is they cut 25 basis points, but signal that they are likely to cut at every single FOMC meeting for a while into next year, and that will allow them to get interest rates down fairly quickly. And there's no doubt that the broader economic environment in the US would justify the start of the interest rate cutting cycle and would justify interest rates moving down appreciably from where they are at the moment. In addition, we know that the inflation rate has been brought reasonably under control. Yes, it's not back down to the 2% level, but it seems likely that it will continue to moderate into early next year. And so I think the Federal Reserve will feel very comfortable with a decision to start the rate cutting cycle. What we can't fully assess is how weak is the US economy going to go over the coming quarters and will it end up in recession? I think there's no doubt if you don't cut interest rates, you are going to end up in a recession. But do they need to be more aggressive in terms of their rate cutting cycle, or can they adopt a measured approach of 25 basis points and still avoid a significant economic slowdown? As I said, we think to be consistent with what they have messaged previously, they will probably lean towards a cut of 25 basis points. But I think signal that those cuts will be persistent into next year in order to get interest rates down significantly by the end of next year. Because GDP performance for the second quarter of the year was released last week, and in total the economy grew by 0.4% quarter on quarter. That is better than what we had in the first quarter. The first quarter was initially a decline of minus 0.1%, and then that was revised to zero change. So 0.4 is better, although you wouldn't brag about a growth rate of only 0.4%. Also, over the past year, the economy has expanded by 0.3%, which is well below what we really need in South Africa in order to generate an improvement in the labor market and obviously try and lift income on a per capita basis. If we break down the GDP performance, the growth was driven by a couple of sectors. The one, obviously, electricity, where we've seen a meaningful improvement in electricity production. So that sector grew at over 3% in the quarter and clearly provided a little bit of uplift to the overall performance. We also saw better growth out of financial services, which would include the banking sector. And then retail activity did quite well, particularly in June. And I think that relates to the post-election environment where IEC members got paid and were therefore able to spend proportionately more. So a couple of areas of improvement, but if I look at the underlying dynamic, there isn't broad-based growth going on in South Africa. We still had negative performance out of some of the transport sectors, which are obviously critical as it relates to our network infrastructure. We had a big decline in agriculture, another decline in the mining industry, which means effectively the mining sector is in recession. So this wasn't a convincing set of numbers. It was a bit patchy, and it suggests that the economy is still broadly under pressure. Obviously, we hope that as we go through the third quarter into the fourth quarter, that things get better. We do expect that with interest rate cuts starting this month and continuing on in November and then into next year, that will systematically start to help overall economic performance. Obviously, the two-pot system where people are able to cash in part of their pension, we think that will provide a boost to the economy during the final quarter of the year and into next year. It's not the best way to grow your economy, but it will have the effect of providing a bit more retail activity and therefore have the appearance of stronger economic growth. And then most importantly, we are hoping that systematically the private-public partnerships that are currently underway gain more momentum during the course of next year and broaden out into a range of projects. So at this stage for 2024, we're looking at a growth rate of 1.1%. That's well below what you would ideally need. That's also below what the population growth rate is in South Africa. But next year, as I said, we're hoping that the growth rate broadens out and that it starts to include some more elements of infrastructure. And so we've got a 2% growth expectation for next year. 2% starts to put us on the right path, but we would have to build that up systematically to try and get a growth rate that approaches 4%. I think that is achievable on a longer term basis in South Africa, but it's going to require that we deal with some of the big infrastructure backlogs and then encourage the private sector to start to become more expansionary. Private sector investment has been very lackluster in recent years, certainly over the last 5 years. And so it's critical that we see a pickup broadly in fixed investment spending, both from the public sector as well as the private sector. And then I think we have a chance of creating jobs and inspiring a broad-based economic upswing in South Africa. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.